Hello, friends. Welcome to Between the Swings, episode 12. Your hosts, Alex Beaverson and Kyle Jones, sitting in the office of Kyle Jones today. We're excited for today's episode. We're talking about an amazing trip that we took up to Washington to play two beautiful courses, Snoqualmie and Chambers Bay. We're going to be talking about how we embrace the moments. We're going to be talking a lot about our course conditions and how we navigated a stressful time here and the operations of Superstition Springs. Of course, we got to talk about the Olympics as well as a cool thing that's coming up here on Between the Swings podcast. KJ, welcome back in. How's it going?
Oh, I'm a changed man after going up to Tacoma, Washington and playing some amazing golf with you and our friends. Let's chat about it.
The amount of times that we said in Washington, this is the best golf I've ever played, I think was probably, 10 times said on each nine holes, probably. Mm. Like, you know, the moments where we put our arms around each other and we were like, are we taking this in right now? Like, stop for a second and just look around. I mean, it was amazing.
Like, this is it. Like, yeah. This is the moment and it's being embraced right now. You can't go back and realize you're having a day.
Yeah.
Have the day when it's happening.
Yeah.
And we did. And this podcast is just allowing us to prepare an attitude of gratitude, and it allowed us to really enjoy an amazing trip.
Yeah. So we flew into SeaTac Airport. Mm-hmm. We grabbed our golf bags. We drove directly to Tacoma, Washington, and played an awesome course called Snoqualmie. It's a course owned by Arcus Golf, which also owns our course, but it's on the private side, which we spoke a lot about the private industry last time. And talk to me about your emotions as we drove up, because they were unique when we drove up to Snoqualmie.
Yeah, last week when we talked about the private side of the golf industry, we talked about how the private club is the master of intention and execution, because it's the best of the best, right? Expectations are high, budgets are pretty high to match those expectations as well.
Yeah,
but what's even better is this specific country club. Not only is it trying to prepare a golf environment that matches the best of the best, they were preparing for the best of the best golfers in the world a week or two after we were going to be there. And what I'm referring to is Snoqualmie played host to the Boeing Classic of the Champions Tour 2 weeks after we had the opportunity to play. So we pull up and grandstands are up.
Ticketing
stands are up. Leaderboards are up. The full display is up. And we're like, wait a sec. We get to go play and you're just acting like this is all normal.
Well, the crazy thing was, yeah, I mean, you're golf nerdish enough to know that, you know, if you really thought about it, you could have found out or known that the Boeing Classic was going to be there, but you didn't know. So we pull up and you're like, I didn't know it was going to be like this. And it was like grandstands everywhere. Like, parking signs were up. They were getting ready. They were getting ready for the show.
Yeah. The timing on the calendar just didn't register with me. So to pull up and see that, it was a treat for all of us. It was awesome. We drive to from the putting green to the first tee box, and it's just a row of all of the past champions, right? And it's Stephen Ames and Kenny Perry and Freddie Couples and all of the greatest players in the world. You know, Ernie Els is one of them, right? One of the individuals, really one of the main reasons why we went on the trip was to support the Els for Autism initiative. But to be there 2 weeks before the tournament, it's in the best shape it's going to be all year because it's televised. The best golfers in the world are going to be there. And then you also get to play with all of the grandstands up and in its signature setting. So it was beautiful. And if you get a chance, look at this golf course at the Boeing Classic, right? Watch replays of the Champions Tour and the backdrop, the scenery of this golf course. It's easy to embrace moments at a place like this.
The amount of times we stood on tee boxes, like I said, and just said, I don't care where my drive goes. Like, this moment is beyond me. We do not deserve this. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it was perfection.
It was perfection.
It was absolute so perfection.
There was a lot of good shots, but one that stuck out to me, and I know we talk a lot about embracing the moments between the swings. Steph had an amazing, two amazing four iron shots. He went with us. He's on our staff here and hits a four iron, pipes it 200 plus yards onto the green. Like, and we don't see where the ball is. We pull up and on the 18th hole, it's 2 feet from the pin and he puts in for birdie. The crazy thing, Eagle.
Taps it in for Eagle.
The crazy thing is that's the hole with the grandstands on it. And that's the hole that we see on TV. And now we and him can say, you know, we experienced a moment. We experienced an amazing golf shot, but it all came to head when we sat on the patio.
Yeah.
And we sit there and all the golf is fun and good, but we sat on Snoqualmie's patio, ate homemade pizza. And that moment was embraced. I mean, it all came, all that experience was for that moment that we had on that patio after you had showered, of course.
Of course. I mean, you know, I had to add to my list of showers, right? We had a long travel day. We were playing golf. It was beautiful out, so not crazy hot. But no, Kyle had to sneak his way into the shower. I embraced the moments, got myself all refreshed, and got back to the patio with a nice little old-fashioned waiting for me. Yeah. So to sip on that and have some pizza and watch the sunset behind us at 9 p.m. at night, all feeling a little chilly for the first time in more than 100 days,
yeah.
It felt good to be cold. So just an amazing escape for us, and that was just day one.
Yeah, so day two involved us waking up in the morning and going to the famous Chambers Bay golf course. Mm-hmm. And little rain in the air. And we all were embracing that moment because we don't get at this point, you know, we're coming off of no rain here at, you know, in Arizona, Phoenix, and flying to this place. Rain is in the air. It's overcast. We drive up and we see a golf hole as we're pulling up, and the whole car at the same time goes, like, oh, only golfers would do that crap. Yeah. We get out of the car, we start taking videos at Chambers Bay. And, so we had a moment at Snoqualmie. What was Kyle Jones's thoughts when he walked into Chambers Bay?
It's just a spectacle, right? It's, ended up learning throughout the day from our caddy that it was a gravel pit. Right. So they were able to sculpt 18 holes however they wanted into this chunk of land between the sea and, you know, the high rise. Right. And you stand at the top of the property where the clubhouse is and the parking lot is and look down over this entire expanse of the property. And you know that every mound, every mogul on the golf course, it was obsessed over with intention, mm-hmm. with how the sunlight was going to play on it or how it was going to affect your golf ball. It's a true masterpiece. You know, I think I said that these designers moved heaven and earth to create a living sculpture that is this course. There's golf courses that are designed to achieve 18 holes and get you out there to hopefully get, you know, around a par 72.
Yeah.
But Chambers Bay was designed with intention to be a spectacular, magnificent chunk of land. And you can tell. And there's very little out on the golf course to interrupt that serene, perfect environment. There's no carts. No. So no cart path. There are some maintenance paths that allow people to get around, but it is you and the game of golf, and it was magnificent. Tell me a little bit about your perspective.
Well, from a golf course operation standpoint, you know, typically you walk into a golf course, there's a bag drop area. You put your bags on a cart. Someone checks you in, a cart staff. You go in and check in. All this was not the case because they had to shuttle us from the pro shop down to where the actual golf was played. Mm-hmm. So operationally, I was just sitting there like, cause I've learned so much about the operation side of golf this past year. And that's where I breathe and live lately. This operation's different. You got to load bags up onto a shuttle and that shuttle has to go all day up and down, up and down, up and down. And then you drop people, the snack shack and pro shop. you know, it's all just a different operation that I wasn't used to. But the craziest part was, one, we were playing a tournament. We go onto the putting green. They have our hole assigned to us, and there stands these amazing gentlemen in green vests, and they get to know you because you're going to spend the next 5 hours with them because they're your stinking caddies, bro. Yes. Now, I'm new to the caddy game. I see them on TV, as most of us do. You are privy to the caddy world. Another gentleman that came with us caddied himself for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So I got a little, like, he grabbed my clubs and he'd like wash it off and he'd hand me my putter. And I was like, he's serving me too much. And you just said, that's what they're here for. Like, embrace it. So about 6 holes in, I started acting like a pro and just like, here's my putter, bro. Like, you know, and he washed my ball. It probably took him 3 to 4 holes to kind of learn my game enough to like, trust your shot, say stuff like that as a, you know, I can't shape my shots all that well. So he wasn't saying that to me. I think with you, he was communicating different stuff, at least I think. But that right there was amazing. It allowed for me to walk the course without a heavy bag, which it's neither here nor there, but I was freedom in my own skin and bones, just walking on a hike outside while also playing golf, while also having people telling me how to be a better golfer, while also playing with 4 of my best friends. It's like, come on. This moment at a beautiful course, I would have had fun at any course for someone to carry my bag and play with 3 amazing people. But this was at Chambers Bay. So there was like, you know, every time I looked up, you're on water, you're taking in the serene views, and I'm on a little hike outside. So,
in other words, you were embracing the
moment. I was embracing the moment, Doc.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So
no, the caddy experience was fantastic. You said 5 hours. It might have been longer. It might have been like 5.5.
Might have been 5.5.
And we had no idea.
No.
Because you're just out for a walk. You're just enjoying a walk. And every once in a while, you had to interrupt that beautiful, amazing walk to hit a little golf ball.
Yeah.
And you chased after it and you did it all over again.
Yeah, and you look up and you take a breath. You go, man, I just birdied that hole. Or, oh, I just parred that. Or I just doubled it. Or, you know, I remember this one shot par 5 into the wind, such a long hole. I shanked my first one off right. Second one went up in the hills. Everyone's filming me because I'm at the highest point of the golf course.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I then grabbed my pitching wedge and somehow put it within 3 feet of the hole to putt in for a bogey. And it was like, it was such a, like, those moments are crazy.
Par 5, hole number 8.
Number 8.
I was looking forward to that hole more than any other hole for some reason.
Yeah.
And you hit the shot of the trip on that one.
It was
full mountain goat status. You were 80 feet up, 100 feet up on the side of this hill and just hit the most ridiculous shot to a gimme range, tap in par. No
so
pictures
good.
On a scorecard, man. Yeah,
yeah.
It was one of the first rounds of golf. I had no idea where I was currently at in relation to par. Probably the entire round of golf. I knew I bogeyed the first.
Yeah.
We can talk about the results in a second. It was a complete accident, by the way. I'll tell you
I don't know about that.
But yeah, I probably had, other than bogeying the first, I remember like birdies being thrown in here or there. I remember 1 or 2 other bogeys on the scorecard.
Yeah.
And then before we know it, we're adding up our scorecard and Steph and I had both tied with 1 under par.
Yeah.
And we sit down afterwards for lunch and it's a fundraising event. So there's handicaps included. And we knew the main prize was a net prize, which means handicap included. How did you play compared to your handicap? And there's a small prize for the gross handicap who just went out and shot the best score that day.
Yeah. But a solo prize. We're not
solo.
Going first, second, third.
Yeah.
They're giving 1 prize.
Just 1 prize. And they throw the leaderboard up there and there's, you know, Kyle and Steph tied for first place. and I ended up beating him in what they did as a scorecard playoff. So I'm sorry, Steph, that was an accident.
Yeah, but that was a moment because the reality is no one goes to a course and thinks I'm the best player here.
Right.
I mean, you look at the field and you're just like, I'm here to have fun. At least that's how the 4 of us went out and played. But you sit down and you go, jaw hit the floor. And you were like,
when
I just won this golf tournament.
My jaw was on the floor. And it had nothing even to do with winning other than just coming to the realization was for the last 5.5, 6 hours, I was just embracing the moments on this beautiful golf course, enjoying the day. And I look up and I'm like, I just played the best round of golf that I've played in probably 12 months. I mean, I don't know if I've broken par. I broke par one other time this year in 2024. So that was amazing. That was amazing. And to match Steph, Steph is way better than me. So if we play 10 times, I win once, maybe twice. So that was pretty fun. But it also just goes to show it, like, how well you're going to play if you just let it happen.
Just let it happen.
You have no clue what's going on.
Yeah. Well, a line of the trip was, so both at our hotel and at the course, they have these Chambers Bay magazines, and they just, I don't know when the last one was published, but it gives you a history of Chambers Bay. And on the front, it has some golfer. I forget who it was. Chambers Bay. Kyle was like, you were like, you want me to sign one of those and give it to you? Cause he was the Chambers Bay champion.
Yeah,
you
know? The Chambers Bay champ.
That's what right. How we call him.
Yeah.
But all of this led to this moment of this is a long intro to remind everybody, embrace the moments, because we sit on the patio at Chambers Bay. Do we go somewhere? We actually tried to play another round. We're kind of tired. The beer and wine was free with the golf tournament. They had a really cool little bar inside. So pouring rain. So we said, let's stay here a little longer. Mm-hmm. And within an hour and a half, Alex, Kyle, Steph, and John are shedding tears that lasted about 30 minutes. And just pouring our hearts out to each other and just reminding each other, you know, one, we love each other. Secondly, golf is fun and hard. Third, how are we here? You know, like all of this came to a moment at Chambers Bay on the patio, pouring rain, that we're going to remember forever.
Yeah.
It was a moment that was embraced.
It was
between the swings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, it was quite rewarding.
Yeah.
And I'll get personal for a little bit, because we ended last episode kind of reviewing my personal journey, right? And how lucky I am to be sitting where I am, living out the words that I wrote for myself as a goal 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so much of that was writing a goal where I was able to lead a facility that impacted the people around me and created an environment where life happened at its best. And here was, you know, four of us living life at its best.
Yeah.
So to say those words and set big goals for our team and say, let's hit these goals. Yeah. Let's work hard. And when that happens, life is going to be at its best. I assure you, I'm here to do that for you. Mm-hmm. And then to make that happen was really rewarding. It felt pretty damn good.
Yeah. We sat there and all of us said, how are we going to go home and tell our wives about this? Cause they're the ones home with kids. They're the ones kind of, you know, doing the dirty work while we're, you know, celebrating the moments between the swings and having good time. So thank you to our wives. But we then, how can we like tell other people about this? And we all kind of ended like, we can't, there's just no way. You kind of, it had to be here type of moment. And I think that's why this podcast, I think, has so much potential, or at least we're passionate about it, because both men and women, golfer, non-golfer, to learn how to have those moments, these Chamber Bay moments, these moments between the swings, you know, is going to change your life.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be their moments, create those, be a part of those, make those happen.
Yeah. Moments where words just don't describe the power behind them, right? I mean, they are restorative, they are regenerative, and in themselves give you the ability to be something stronger than maybe you were before.
Yeah. Well, one thing that made this so unique is we wear multiple hats. We all wear work hats together, and then we all got to kind of wear this like friendship, like quasi, like we're just a bunch of dudes being dudes together moments, but we had to put our work hats back on and come back to a course that we were... we love, but we are kind of like, because we didn't receive much rain. We struggled a little bit in this transition season at our course, most days over 100 in Arizona in history. And we're managing a course there. So we went to Chambers Bay and we were able to embrace the moments because things were kind of hard at work. And then we came back to a course that ended up, we turned it on. Our course is looking great.
Yeah. I think the first word that comes to mind, honestly, is lucky.
Yeah.
We've talked on the podcast a few times about summer transition and how it's very important. The last 60 days have been some of the most trying summer transition times that I've experienced as a leader, if not my entire time just being around the golf industry, right? So you said something that is true. The state of Arizona again broke its own record for number of days in a row above 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Right? That's 77 days. So every day in this time period I'm referring to above 100 degrees. Very, very low rain. And we have the equivalent of a heart attack for our golf course's irrigation system.
Yeah.
Our mainline irrigation system burst. It broke on the night of July 18th, right? So during the hottest time of the year, during peak transition. So what that means to me is the least amount, all of your winter grass is already gone, but the least amount of growth for your summer grass. So you have the most amount of bare spots that you're going to have throughout the whole growth period or summer period. Our water goes out for basically 10 out of 12 days.
Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do. Now we can truck in some rain for rent trucks. We got pretty close to that. We got about one day away from that on our first stint. Our first stint, we hit 6 days. On day six, we got our water back. We watered for about 1.5 nights and then lost it again for about 4 more days. So we had that happen in a time that our golf course really couldn't afford for that to happen.
Yeah.
And our summer greens maintenance, we have to go in and do a process that we call core aeration or just greens aeration, where a 4-inch plug that is 3/4 of an inch in diameter is removed from the greens surface. But hundreds of plugs, you know, about every 1/2 inch spaced apart. And these are pulled out. And that has to be done every single summer to promote the health of your greens. Otherwise, the root zone is going to be bound and overcompacted. This whole entire process, which is something that's on the calendar since the beginning of the year, it had to be delayed. It had to be delayed multiple times throughout this mainline irrigation break process. So we struggled with not just the hottest summer, but also this crazy issue. But what ended up happening was we always fertilize the whole golf course just before we do our greens maintenance. And because our greens maintenance was delayed about 2 weeks because of the irrigation break, we ended up fertilizing the day before Superstition actually got rainfall. Superstition got 1/2 inch of rain and 1/4 inch of rain on back-to-back nights that no other Arcus golf course, and there's 10 public golf courses in the Phoenix metropolitan area. We are the only one of 10 of those golf courses
that actually to get got some rain.
Any kind of rain. Right. And that happened right when we dropped our fertilizer down. Right. I think that was a Thursday or Friday or a Friday, Saturday period. And we dropped our fertilizer like Wednesday, Thursday of that week so that we could punch our greens on Monday of the following week. And we punched our greens on the Monday that you and I were playing Chambers Bay.
Yeah.
So we leave the golf course with a 14-day period of the most stressful period that I've had for summer transition conditions. And we came back to an environment where everything went perfect.
Yeah.
So it was just a complete flip of the script from what we had been used to from the middle, late end of July. We get back to the early end of August and we look at each other and say, our golf course shouldn't be this good. This is ridiculous. So we follow up with our superintendent and we knew we had gotten rain. We knew we had gotten fertilizer down, but we just didn't know that 5, 7, 10 days later, we were going to see a golf course that came back right away. So now here we are on August 13th, and we're talking about trying to be the best that we can possibly be. It has nothing to do about course conditions or trying to get back to square one because of some issues we may have had. Mother Nature did us some major favors, so massive win for us.
Yeah, it's wild. And for those that don't, for those that don't know, Arizona golf, we're not scared of the heat. And I learned this. Bermuda thrives in heat. It's all good. But we are scared of no water.
Dryness, yeah.
Yeah, so we, you know, obviously fabricate water by sprinkling our course. We have sprinklers on our course. We have roller bases. But then when you look at the forecast and it says it's not only supposed to be a hot summer, okay, great, that means dryness. It's also going to be the driest summer with no rain. And you said something, both our regional VP and just conversations, as well as you said something to our superintendent that was pretty profound. And he, you know, we have to partner with Mother Nature in a unique way because, you know, Mother Nature very much dictates a lot, but in a season when we don't get any rain and we're like, I can't wait for the next rain. I can't wait for the next rain. I can't wait for the next rain. That we're all saying that. I mean, that's currently the conversation at every golf course in Arizona. Please rain, please rain, please rain. But the next question is, well, what if it doesn't?
Yeah.
You know, what if it doesn't rain? From an operational standpoint, you have to answer that question, especially in summertime when you want green Bermuda grass and you want to charge people a rate that makes sense for your course. It all comes down to all this sort of stuff. And you said something to us and our superintendent that was like, stop trying to wait around for rain. Mm-hmm. What can we do today to make our course, you know, to impact our course in a tangible way? And, you know, luckily rain came, as you mentioned, we got lucky to use that word.
So lucky.
But it's still a question we have to ask as operators. What if we don't get rain? What's that mean for us?
Yeah, I think I've accepted this understanding that, man, Phoenix Metropolitan, we've reached a new normal. We have built this concrete jungle that is so large. Superstition Springs used to be darn near the edge of that concrete jungle, right? Meaning it was just desert, just good old Mother Arizona. No asphalt, no concrete, no buildings.
Yeah.
Now we are 10 miles away from the edge, right? How does that change the ambient temperature? How does that change the moisture? How does that change
the pressure systems for?
Yeah, how does that change where it's raining in the valley? That's clearly happened. And I've only been here 5 years.
Yeah.
Right. When I grew up here as a kid down in South Chandler, I remember it, you know, being monsoons nightly, right? But now with the growth of it, of Phoenix Metropolitan, I'm convinced that it just keeps moving out.
Yeah.
And when you work with people who've lived in Arizona their whole lives and you know what the rain schedule is, you know what months get more rain than others, you can start planning for your water allotment. You can start planning for what your growth periods are going to look like. And it just got to a point where I'm like, look, my philosophy is all about operational improvement. I'm done talking about, well, when we get more rain or if we get more rain like prior years. We can't have that conversation because we're proving to ourselves, we know year after year, it's drier.
Yeah.
It's warmer. It's hotter. How can we change that? Right. And I think one of the things that we've done to try and change that is just really scrutinize our water allotment. Right. I think some people, I wouldn't know any different if I wasn't in the industry. We don't have unlimited water.
Yeah.
We're told on, you know, January 1st, 2024, you have 694 acre feet of water allotment for the entire year. Mm-hmm. Use it how you please.
Yeah.
Right. And we need to create a playing experience that matches our expectation darn near 365 days out of the year. And I think from an agronomic standpoint, superintendents in Arizona can set their water schedules based on what they think the rain is going to do.
Yeah.
And if you're not scrutinizing it intensely, you may miss the mark.
Yeah.
You may miss the mark. And I think we recognized it. We had that conversation at the right time and said, I'm done talking about the progress we would see if and when that next rain comes.
Yeah.
Let's start talking about what we are going to do to achieve that progress ourselves.
Yeah.
Because in years past, our golfer would have seen a better playing condition. Let's find a way to get them that playing condition,
right,
even if it's not raining. Because we know there's other things we can do other than just turning water on to get our golf course to grow, right?
Exactly.
There's fertilizers, there's inputs, there's the core aeration, just like I talked about for the green. We can go out and mechanically punch or aerate areas to make it better. So I put my foot down in a rather stern way and said, I'm done. I'm done having a conversation about weather. We live in Arizona. We know exactly what it is. We all watch the same weather report. Let's find progress.
Yeah.
And when it does rain, we're going to be even better when we get there.
That's right.
So it's been a challenge. It's been unique. But to sit here in the middle of August with the course conditions that we have, I'm thrilled that we're going to be able to have a great playing condition for the rest of the playing season.
Yeah. Yeah. Just had a guy come in today while I was in the shop and said, your course condition's fantastic. Thanks for the hard work you put in, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it really, to bring it full circle, all of that conversation was happening at Chambers Bay, which allowed for us to take a breath for a second and have a moment, even more of a moment, experiencing a great course, you know? So let's jump to the last kind of couple quick things. I want to talk to you about the Olympics, both the golf side and in general. How about Scottie Scheffler, huh?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. What stuck out to you? Well, give me one line about the Olympics. If you had to like put it into golf fan embracing the moments, watching the Olympics, Kyle Jones, what's he going to say?
I loved seeing Scottie Scheffler overwhelmed with emotion when they started playing the Star Spangled Banner with that gold medal around his neck.
Yeah.
What he's doing for the game of golf, what he's doing with his own skill, all while having a newborn baby traveling halfway across the world.
Going to jail.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, and for the most part, a relatively private guy, right? We don't have a crazy social media history on Scotty. We don't have a ton of off-cuff, out-of-character conversations. It's a lot of business and round of golf, and this is how I played today, and maybe a little bit about this is how I'm feeling. So to just see this guy standing there, I was grateful for him.
Yeah.
Like, take it in, Scotty. You deserve this. You are the greatest golfer in the world.
Yeah.
You just shot 62 on Sunday, best round of the day. You put the whole entire country
on
your back. And you mentioned something earlier to me that Rory said. Tell us about that. What was Rory saying about this?
There's so much drama in golf right now. This is Rory, like, I'm paraphrasing what Rory said. There's so much drama in golf right now between LIV, PGA, rules, how much money people are getting paid. But the two tournaments that people care the most about, you don't win any money at. The Ryder Cup in the Olympics.
Mm.
And, you know, I think you do win a little bit of money. You win, you know, something that's small compared to the big purses they're fighting for. And to hear Rory say that, a guy who's recognized in the golf community, has stood up for the PGA, and just sit back for a second and realize he obviously played in the Olympics to represent Ireland. And for him to say, like, this tournament matters. There's more competition. There's more at stake than a $4 million purse you can win at LIV or some Masters tournament. All good things, but it really shows you the moment that Scotty took in when he won, you know, because it mattered a whole lot more to these people than just that paycheck. And you know, to take that even bigger, you can tell those golfers that are competing for more than the paycheck. John Rahm winning LIV right before he came to the Olympics, it meant more to him than the money.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
John was distraught.
Yes.
With how he played. And this is someone who gets upset with himself when he plays poorly.
Yeah.
And he wasn't mad for himself. Yeah. He was mad for the rest of his country. And he knew it. He knew it.
Yeah. Cause you know, he was, I was of course rooting for the USA and Scotty and all those, but I was rooting for John Rahm a little bit too. Yeah. And to see,
it was nice to see him play well because we haven't been able to see him on the same stage.
And the last thing I'll say about that was you know, they had everyone hold up these signs like it's their first day of school. And what do you want to do? And everybody through and through said, what's your goal for the Olympics? And on their little cute sign, it's Minwoo Lee, who I love. Win gold. You know, I want a medal. Everybody. And you look at Scottie Scheffler's and he had, what do you want to do? Or what's your goal? And he said, have fun.
Yeah.
Talk about embracing the mother effing moments, my man. I mean, he just said, I want to come out and have fun. And obviously he came out and not only had fun, but he freaking won that thing. So
yeah,
really cool.
That was amazing. I think my favorite moment of the entire Olympics, it's got to be opening ceremony when we have the pianist floating down the river playing John Lennon's My Child's Namesake, Imagine.
Yeah.
And then they show all of the athletes who are walking into the ceremony site from all over the world. They all speak their own language, all singing this song at the same time. So that's the power of sports. That's the power of golf. And that's what we're here to talk about. So the Olympics is embracing the moments of the sports world.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that was here. We were able to celebrate it. And now we look forward to the next ones.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great episode. I'm obviously grateful for the combos, KJ, but, we are continuing to progress our podcast forward as best we can. Baby steps. Sometimes we're taking leaps. Sometimes we're taking two steps forward, two steps back. But we're excited because in the coming days, starting on August 17th, we have a giveaway we're going to invite all of you into. And so we'd like to, one, for you to participate in the giveaway. How you get into the giveaway is by simply following us on Instagram and subscribe to our podcast. What's the giveaway?
We will announce that on Saturday.
We're going to announce it on Saturday.
We will announce it on Saturday. You will have 2 weeks to do those two tasks.
Yes.
2 weeks to subscribe. Like us on Instagram. We will start the first of many giveaways. And we can't wait to bless one of our listeners with a fun prize.
And we'll, let me just tell you the prize, we, as golf course operators, we have vendors who want to partner with us and we want to partner with them. And so some amazing vendors are going to come and participate and give us some stuff to give you all. So, join us in this giveaway. But with that being said, last words of wisdom, KJ, embrace the moments,
friends. Be well.